Welcome to KXRW's Authenticity Matters, where we examine how to live more intentional, fulfilling lives by truly being ourselves. In each episode, we will talk to guests who've transformed their lives, organizations, and the community through authentic and intentional actions. I'm your host, Jen Coyne. It's April 2026, and Authenticity Matters is getting close to existing for 7 years. I've asked every guest over the years what authenticity means to them and what holds people back from being authentic. Overwhelmingly, fear holds people back. But also, figuring out an authentic path takes a lot of independent self-reflection and often requires effort to change, stopping what no longer serves you, and starting something that does. I want to talk more on this show about frameworks, supports, and techniques to make this authenticity path feel more effortless. I brought back prior guest and my business partner, Peakfleet co-founder Brian Stinson, for his wisdom and recommendations on the subject. We'll discuss, what does that plan of action for being authentic look like? How do you talk about your authenticity journey with people that matter most to you? How do we have constructive conversations about matters in the world in courageous, kind, and productive ways? How can we be real, opinionated, and constructive and not devolve into holding back or being indifferent in order to save relationships or merely avoid conflict? Let's get into the conversation. Thank you, as always, for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It is always a pleasure.
So when you think about the process of, like, you have some big aha that's come to you, right? Maybe we should start there, actually. It's like, how do you get to a place, and how do you recommend people get to a place of reckoning where something doesn't feel right, something maybe is violating your values, or feels out of alignment for where you want to go with your life? First of all, how do you know that it is, like, how do you commit to that for yourself?
Well, it's interesting. As a coach and as a mentor, and probably even just as a friend, I'm always encouraging the people I'm trying to help to be completely authentic. Like, we even structure our coaching agreement in a way that it's upfront. We try to make it really, really clear this is a safe place to talk about anything. And for me, as a coach, if someone is guarded or has armor on or isn't being totally open or authentic, it's going to be really hard for me to help them change in whatever way they want to. So, as a practitioner, I'm always advocating for it. But then a couple of things recently on a personal level, I realized that I was either filtering or I had my armor on. You mentioned it is often fear. Sometimes it's, maybe there is shame, or I don't want to talk about this, or other times it's just kind of heavy, and I don't want to deal with it right now.
You don't want to
But
hurt
I,
people too, right? I mean, I think in, especially in personal situations, you're worried about the other person's reaction because you don't want to hurt their feelings. You care about them.
yeah. So what happened recently was a conversation with a longtime friend, and he's one of those people. I was going to say, I think we all have a friend like this. I hope everybody's lucky enough to have a friend that, one, you haven't seen them in a while, but you can always just pick up right where you left off. And two, there's something about them that makes you feel totally comfortable to talk about anything and everything. And then I did that. This was recent, and I felt, I told him at the end, I go, I haven't, some of these things I really haven't shared with other people, but there's something about you that I felt comfortable, and I felt so much better. I felt lighter. I felt more connected. And so it's a reminder. So your question is, how do we get there? I think part of it is remembering, like for me as a practitioner, I'm encouraging people, and it is great to see a breakthrough with a client who is open with you, or even when we're coaching young entrepreneurs and helping them with their pitch. Sometimes it comes across initially as very academic, very almost sterile, just the facts. But then I ask them, like, what's your why? What's your story? What's your background? Like, tell me more. And then it comes out, and I'm like, that is gold. That is like, I feel connected to you now. I feel the story is so much powerful. And it usually leads to the old speech about there's a difference between right versus being effective. And so for me, it's a reminder that it's, in a way, it's a little bit like exercise and, eating a good diet and getting a good night's sleep. We know we're supposed to do that, but then when you do and you feel better, you feel lighter, you feel stronger. So I guess for me, it's one of those things that I'm reminded that it's something you have to practice and experience the benefits of being authentic, either receiving or giving, or, bidirectional.
I was thinking about, the benefits of being authentic and being authentic like early and often, I feel like. I was joking earlier before we started recording that I've been watching Bridgerton because of course I am. But like, if you watch any of that, there's revelations that come about and you see where when there's lack of honest conversation with people, the longer it goes on, the higher the level of resentment and betrayal when either things come to light or like there's resentment building up because you're not really being truthful and open. And so I think like a big pro is if you are, kind of leaking out your authenticity at all times, it shouldn't be a surprise to people. What's real for you,
Yes, but it's I don't know if we're wired to just be automatically authentic. So it is a practice. I think you have to keep reminding yourself of how good it feels when people are authentic with you.
I mean, I think that we're wired for safety initially, and so part of that safety mechanism is like don't do anything that's going to be harmful to you, personally. And so if you believe that change or, a relationship impact or monetary impact, whatever it could be, could come to you, that's going to, drag your feet for sure. So you mentioned like getting valuable perspectives or even just having an outlet for expressing how you're feeling and have somebody come at you like non-judgmentally or in almost like a coaching perspective back to you, which, you know, I know that this person you're talking about is a really fantastic coach as well. Aside from that, like, should you have a plan? Like, you know, I sometimes talk to people about like, look at the area of your life that you're talking about and where are you? Like, is the gas tank on empty and you are uncomfortable if it's less than half full? You know, like what's your need in that space? And sort of like what's the gap as a driver for saying like I have to do something about this?
Yeah.
Like how do you establish where that threshold is? Because I feel like people become, you know, there's on the scale of safe to reckless, I think that people in that if the middle is authentic, right? Then like,
Yeah.
you know, when someone has nothing to lose, they're just like beyond authentic. They're just like reckless about it because they're just like don't have, you know, that where they're at right now stinks and they have nothing to lose. So why not be radical? But like, if you're trying to sort of be a little bit more conservative and not completely blow your life up, like, what is that threshold? And how do you start with a plan? You know, where do you start?
I like that you talked about the spectrum between safe and reckless, because I do think there's I think it's a human tendency to not want to do things that are uncomfortable. So but if your gas tank is empty, then I think that's a valid reason to just hold back. But if it's just because I don't want to, or it feels hard, or it feels like it's going to be too much work, then I think you should challenge yourself. But on the flip side, you don't necessarily need to be completely authentic with strangers, like in the checkout line at the grocery store,
Right,
or
right.
on the subway or whatever. Like there's some nice help. There's a plenty of middle ground, but
Yeah.
it's but it. So maybe not, giving yourself grace that there are some times when it isn't, you don't need to push yourself or it isn't appropriate. But that middle, if it's a standardized curve, that's still 2/3 of the time, there's going to be upside. So push yourself. But I guess where my recent epiphany was the how powerful it is. And a connection level, so maybe if you've had the conversation where you just felt like you had a really strong, powerful connection and, via a conversation with someone that was very authentic, or maybe just think about the brands, the businesses, or maybe a musician or artist or somebody that you just feel drawn to because of their authenticness. Like in that, how much you're drawn to it, like give people a chance to be drawn to you or be connected to you and get that feeling in return. So maybe this is coming from a chronic people pleaser. So I am energized by, being in service to others. So maybe that's a Brian thing, but just remember that it's not just about you. There's two people involved but by pushing yourself, again, giving yourself grace if you're not strong enough or isn't appropriate, but if in that healthy middle ground, push yourself, challenge yourself, because I think then it could also be a virtuous cycle of they get energy from you, you get energy in back, and that virtuous cycle continues.
Yeah. I mean, so as somebody who went through a divorce, I mean, gosh, it's coming up on 20 years now, so it's been a while, which dates me too. But in that circumstance, I really it was a situation where we weren't talking about things. Things weren't like terrible on the day to day, but it was that kind of like it was death by a thousand cuts, right? Like it just was unfulfilling in a lot of ways and unsupportive in a lot of ways mutually. And it ended up being like a rip the band-aid an off situation for me. I was just like, I'm done, right? Like something happened and it was the straw, to use another analogy. Like the straw that broke the camel's back. I was like, I'm done, right? I feel like there's something productive in like once you've centered yourself that you are unhappy with the way something is, like maybe I need to ask for a raise at work, or I want a different job, or I'm unhappy with a certain dynamic in the workplace. Like, let's talk about workplace environment. You know, how do I feel empowered or what have you? I think that there's, rather than there being death by a thousand cuts, like how could you flip the script where you start having conversations that nudge it along in the direction so that it doesn't have to become a, you know what, I quit. I'm not doing this anymore, right? Like, it could be a conversation about, like, hey, what does it take for me to make more money? What does it take for me to be able to travel more in my job? What does it take for me to, like, what does it take to get this kind of a role? You know, and see, you know, I think sometimes we're so nervous and we're thinking about what we're going to say next in a conversation that we don't just throw the question out there, like be prepared with the questions and then wait and really listen to what somebody says in response to see how far you can go with that conversation at that time.
Well, I do think there's a we may have skipped over the prerequisite for authenticity is the being introspective and having done the work to create clarity about what is most important to you. We spend a lot of time talking about core values. We help people discover, clarify their core values. If what you're talking about is a conversation, or at least a version of what you're talking about is a conversation about what's important to me. And if you haven't done the work, you might feel like something is off, but I think there's a very big tendency to just assume that it's me, there's something wrong with me. So it's just me. But when you have the clarity of no, these are the things, these are my non-negotiables, this is really important to me, then it's easier to have a conversation about that with others. Part of creating trust with others, I think trust is the prerequisite for connection. But trust comes from being vulnerable, but also trust comes from having clear boundaries. So I think creating boundaries for yourself of what's most important to you. I think every time I would say every time you look back on one of those conversations where I was filtering or I was armored up, there might have been one of my values that was out of alignment in some way or being violated, but I didn't want to admit it or be totally. I wasn't sure if that was what was going on. But if you have that clarity, then you can hold a nice, clean boundary that it's not that you're a bad person, I'm a good person. It's like this is important to me. And if we're going to have a trusted, connected relationship, I need you to understand what is important to me and for me to feel safe about that.
Right. The thing that sparked for me what you just said is when you talked about like boundaries and your values being violated, sometimes the inner conflict is that your values can be in opposition or like tug against each other sometimes, right? So if you value adventure or abundance and wealth or something like that, and then on the flip side, it's like, you know, I want my independence or you know, I want security. Those things can tug at each other where you're like, oh, I'm like, you know, I'm dating this person who I go on all these crazy adventures with, but I don't feel secure in the relationship or what have you. That can cause an internal struggle first, right? So it's like you to a certain extent, you have to get out of that internal struggle yourself first and decide what are the limits for me on either side of the extremes of those values, or does one value take more importance in a situation like life partnership or something like that, where you're just like, you know, I could date this person, but I don't want to be, you know, in a committed relationship with this person. So I think you're absolutely right, and I think it's just like, yeah, sometimes it's not straightforward even within yourself what it is that you want to put a boundary around. And I mean, as a Gen Xer, we never talked about boundaries ever, ever, ever. I think just exercising that muscle of understanding and creating boundaries is the first place to start.
Right. And you reminded me that it's so it's, I think I talked earlier about kind of the work that I need to do to be ready and then to challenge myself to be authentic. But we were talking about values from two different people that may have some tension between them. So being a good listener, creating space to understand what's important to someone else. Like you do have to understand and be clear about what's important to you, but you also need to be clear and create some safety for the other person to talk about where their boundaries are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're not going to be completely mutually exclusive.
Right. Do you practice these conversations with people? How do you get comfortable and brave enough to do it?
To be on the kind of receiving end of the questions and then being forced to be authentic or the other way around.
In this scenario, like I need to initiate a change in my life. And so I'm going to, and it's something that I need that is going to affect other people.
Well, you phrased the question about if you want to change or if you want to create change, maybe what would I'll back into the answer as a practitioner, as a coach, and also because I'm an engineer, I really focus on understanding root causes versus symptoms. And we often start with something that's arguably a symptom. But if we dig deeper, then we find out what's really going on. In fact, there's a fantastic coach who wrote a book about coaching, and his what he calls the most powerful coaching question in the world is the awe question, AWE, and that's and what else? It's because it's almost never the first thing. It's often not the second thing. It's the thing that almost doesn't come up unless you ask, like, well, what else? And so I think, if you're the one doing the listening, then creating space to keep digging a little bit further. I'm a big fan of what I call what's known as the five whys
I was
of
just
root
gonna
cause.
say, it sounds like the five whys too.
The example that I always talk about is if you go to the Toyota website, there's a quick explainer, and it's the scenario is a robot freezes up on the assembly line. Why? Because the fuse blew. And so if you stop there, you're just going to replace fuses. But if you dig a little bit deeper, why did the fuse blew? Well, the gears locked up. Why did the gears locked up? Well, there was insufficient lubrication. Why was there insufficient lubrication? Like, well, there were these metal shavings that had gotten into the system. So then the root cause fix was to put a screen in place, and then we never have to change a fuse, and the robot hopefully never stops again. So kind of, if you're on the practitioner side, keep asking why, or keep saying, asking, and what else, or tell me more about that. And so then backing into that, if I wanted to be prepared, I might go through some of the same process to myself. Why is it that I want to change? And then ask why to that answer, and then why again, or why am I not able to change? Like, keep digging and getting a little bit further, to really get at the root of it. And I think that clarity will also help you talk about it with others. If you sometimes we clam up or we armor up because we don't really understand what's happening or why. So kind of doing the work and digging a little bit should put you in a safer place to say, I think this is the thing I really need help with. Instead of asking for help with the symptom, you're asking for help with the root cause.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, have that internal conversation. But also, as a hot tip, that being a good listener, the more that we can facilitate others in their authenticity and living their authentic life, I think also fosters that in yourself. When you see bravery in others and the success in that, over a long term, I think that then it makes you feel like more comfortable being yourself too, right?
Yes, and yes, and that also is a great, there's analogous advice there for being a good listener of if someone's trying to be authentic with you, but your response is different than what they were hoping for, meaning if they just wanted you to listen and you go into fix it mode, or maybe they wanted you to be in fix it mode and all you're doing is listening. So one really great practice is to start with, hey, how do you want me to show up in this conversation? Do you want
I
me
love
just to
that.
listen, or do you want me to offer some suggestions? Because, but I do know personally what will shut me down is if I'm trying to be open and authentic and being vulnerable, and I just want to share and I don't want you to fix it. If you go right into fix it mode, or if you go right into advice mode, or if you go right into making it about you because you think you had a similar experience, then
Right.
I'm probably going to stop talking, because help really is in the eye of the beholder, that you may feel like you're helping, but by offering the wrong kind of help, you're doing the opposite. And then sometimes, just listening is the most helpful, productive thing you can do.
Yeah.
So if you are a pleaser, remind yourself that, hey, I'm helping someone just by listening and being empathetic.
100%. Yeah, I love that. This is Jen Coyne, and today I'm discussing action plans and methods for discovering, sharing, and living your authentic journey. My guest and my business partner, Brian Stinson, and I are sharing our discoveries and lessons learned, as well as some tips and frameworks to help you take action. Let's take a short break and hear from the sponsors that make this radio programming possible. You're listening to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM.
KXRW is supported by founding partners Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs and within their budget. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to Authenticity Matters on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm Jen Coyne, and my guest today is my business partner, Brian Stinson, co-founder of consulting firm The Peak Fleet. Before the break, we talked about moving past fear and discovering your authentic path. Next, we're going to talk about sharing and living your authenticity with those that matter most to you, even when that leads to difficult conversations. Later, we'll talk about how to be authentic when discussing some of the challenging polarities we are experiencing in our world. What do you think the next step is? Like, if you're in conversation, so you've decided, you've practiced, you've centered yourself on your boundaries and what you need. And there's that fateful sort of situation now where you've actually got to do something about it. How do you enter that conversation? Is it like a dip the toe in situation? I mean, is it, I suppose it's situational to a degree, but do you have any best
It is
practices?
It is situational. It gets easier with practice. I don't think it ever gets necessarily easy, but it does get easier with practice. So if you are apprehensive, maybe start small. Maybe start with something relatively safe, and work your way up to something a little more gnarly.
Something else that is, I think, helpful is to challenge your own assumptions about something. And that is one way of dipping your toe in, is to have a conversation where you really validate the assumptions you're making, right? So, okay, I need to go test, like, I see a lot of political rants on my relative's social media page, you know, that offend me, before I just like block them or make a bunch of assumptions about who they are and what they do. Like, maybe we need to have a conversation where I'm testing the assumptions I'm making.
So that resonates strongly with me about getting assumptions, surfacing biases. Many people are familiar with Brené Brown, and she's got a great technique called the story I'm telling myself. So if, you know, if using the words you just used, if it doesn't resonate with you to, quote, test the assumptions, something we did a lot in a former career, with sometimes be kind of technical to, you know, validate an assumption. Just or if you're just not sure how, be open. And the way this practice works is, it starts with the story I'm telling myself is, and then you keep talking of, this is the narrative in my head.
Yeah.
Often just saying it out loud makes you realize that it might be riddled with assumptions that are not true, but also it helps the other person to understand where you're coming from. You know, we as humans, we judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge others by their actions. Mm-hmm. And so helping the other person understand your intentions of where you're coming from.
Right.
And then you can get to either, you can get to the heart of the matter, or at a minimum, you're not blocked or thrown a curveball by misinterpreting something at a surface level.
100%. I mean, I think it really opens up the opportunity for somebody to, you know, see how they can be perceived. It comes back to, like, you know, it can be a learning and growing experience when it's like, if someone is harmed or is feeling harmed by behavior and that person didn't intend to harm you in that way, you know, the defensiveness may creep up. But if you're listening to somebody and they're like, hey, the story I'm telling myself is this, and that you harmed me, or you hurt me in some way, or the story I'm telling myself is, I'm never going to get ahead in this job, and here's why.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the receiving end of that, it's like, oh, well, like, what do I have to learn from that? Like, how could I communicate better? How could I change my behavior so that that outcome isn't, you know, making someone feel bad?
You're right. In that scenario, if you came to me and said, I've topped out here, I can't ever get promoted, or, you know, you were, which your, it was a story you're telling yourself based on that narrative, I might be tempted to debate you about whether or not you were correct or not. But by hearing you say why you felt that way, then I'd be more likely to talk about the why, the narrative, versus the fact, the surface level fact. And that's going to be way more productive.
Yeah. Ultimately, at the end of the day, so we're talking about, you know, how to initiate and how to get to a place where you know what you want to authentically do, and initiating the steps and initiating the conversations that need to happen to move in that direction. I feel like there's no magic bravery pill or magic courageous pill, but there are people out there that seem to have a much easier time. And then there are other people that have a really, really difficult time fostering those kind of conversations and drawing a line for them, you know, advocating for themselves over, you know, a certain situation or how they believe someone's feeling or how they believe someone's going to react or whatever. Is it just nature versus nurture? Like, can you train yourself to be more courageous and have those courageous conversations? And how do you do that?
Well, something does come to mind for me that might be valuable for others. I'm a big believer that a lot of these behaviors, a lot of these, maybe we call it a skill, they're not binary. They're not black and white. They're spectrums. They're some kind of continuum. So on, you know, on one end of this continuum, you have complete authenticity. What's the opposite? I guess it would be inauthentic or disingenuous or maybe fake.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that would be helpful, again, if this is an area you're trying to grow, is do a self-assessment of where you are on that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, because sometimes it feels like, oh, I don't want to be like them. I don't, and we're thinking about the polar opposites, you know, the ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about, being a chronic overshare. And there's probably people that you have observed or you know that you feel maybe you need to dial the authenticity back a little bit or maybe not overshare so much.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything, right? Like sometimes you put that in that category.
But if you're really, really, if you're way far away from that end of the spectrum, I think giving yourself permission to push in that direction, knowing that you're still nowhere near the polar end, that you can grow and increase your authenticity, but not be an extreme. So, you know, I know when I'm trying to coach someone through trying something that feels uncomfortable is I draw a quick little spectrum and I say, I think you're here closer to the other end. So you've got some room to push and you're not going to be, you know, the negative version of what you're imagining. You've got a long ways before you're going to be there. So giving yourself permission to, you know, go from a 4 to a 6 and that it's not going to be perceived as a 9.
Right.
That might change your mindset as well, or make it just a little bit easier to at least give it a try.
Yeah. I think two things come to mind, or two questions that I like to ask myself and ask others in these situations that sometimes can provide additional perspective or clarity around the risk of being courageous, the risk of being brave, is, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? I used to ask myself this at work a lot, because there were a lot of, you know, in the, you know, high tech, there's a lot of, you know, people that are willing to shut down your ideas and things like that.
Strong personalities, dominant personalities.
Stupid,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to a place where I was like, I felt confident betting on myself. And it was like, I joke, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'm like, well, they could fire me, you know? And okay, so then what if that happens? What would I do next? What would... Am I prepared, or like, are there risks that I can mitigate? Right. So that's the other place. I feel like if you are worried about being courageous because of the potential negative effects, like how do you offset those negative effects in some way? Right. If you center your life around one relationship, let's say, and then you're afraid of losing that one relationship, maybe you need to expand your social circle a bit more and find other trusted advisors that you can lean upon. I mean, I joke that I have like divorce coaches or like divorce buddies. When I went through that experience, ironically, you were one of those people. Like, you know, it's like we go through these things and we have support for ourselves. So what's the worst thing that can happen? Then if you go back to what you said earlier about the five whys, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, I could lose my job. Okay, well, and then what, right? And what else, right? The awe thing, right? And then what happens? And then what happens? Like breaking it down to see that, like, there are so many other pathways than the pathway that we're on.
You're right. You started today with talking about how fear often gets in the way of authenticity. So that's a great question, because if that's the case, is the fear real? Or is, like, fear's also probably a continuum of, like, or at least risk is a continuum of it. How risky? If it's really risky, then yeah, maybe be careful. But if it turns out when you really ask yourself, what's the worst that could happen? Although I'll also say that, and this isn't really a helpful piece of advice, I think getting older helps, because you stop giving a darn for what people think. That when we're younger and we're maybe we don't have as much confidence, and I suppose there's a little bit of privilege in here for us, that there's some privilege of having the confidence that if someone doesn't like me for my authentic self, then, you know, I didn't really need them in my life. That's easier to say and do when you still have a great network of people in your life. But I think you have more to lose for people liking the fake or disingenuous or the inauthentic version of you than you do having people not like or love you for being exactly who you are.
Right. Which is a perfect segue to the last part of the discussion I wanted to have with you today, that sort of centers around indifference, I think. As I don't know whether it's on the opposite continuum to, you know, authentic versus indifferent. I don't really, maybe your authenticity is being indifferent. I guess that could be a thing. But I think that you talked about perspective and coming from a place of privilege, and we're in a state right now where there's a lot of bots out there telling us how we should feel, but there's also just like a lot of dialogue that can get heated and there's a lot of polarity that we're trying to navigate. And I think that sometimes rather than formulate your own opinions and then communicate those, people feel like being in this indifferent space, I'm not even going to say center space, but just being in an indifferent space, like, I'm not political. I don't like talking about politics or whatever. When now we're really boiling down to questions about our humanity and our values, you know, indifference is not a value in our card deck. I'll say that, right? That's not a thing. So, like, if to be truly human, to actually have an opinion, and is having an opinion the most authentic thing? And where should you step out of your indifference versus not? And you talked about privilege and stuff, and I feel like those of us that have certain privileges have even less of an excuse to not be courageous and have an opinion about things.
That's a very thought-provoking question. And I agree with you that indifference is not, I'm going to think about my answer. I don't think indifference should be something that we hold important, aka a value. Mm-hmm. I think it is more of a result or a shadow side or potentially, you know, an unintended consequence of something else. However, it does make me think, and I think this answers your question or at least addresses it. If not, we can try again. But there is beyond these, I'm going to use the word static, kind of these static core values that are most important to us. I think the next layer is our belief system. And maybe it's the other way around. I don't know, but I won't use the word indifferent, but there are some things that are non-negotiable to us, are important, and they're tightly held, that this is really important to be. But also a part of your authentic self are the things that aren't that important to you, which might come across as indifference. For instance, I remember having managers who, what was really important to them, that you were here at 8 o'clock in the morning and you stayed until five. And that was important to them. Other managers say, I don't care when you get here, when you leave, where you work, just get your stuff done.
Right. So in that case, if I frame it, it's like they're not indifferent to the accomplishment or hitting our goals, but they're
And
indifferent,
quality and
right? But they're indifferent to kind of when you get that done.
so maybe the clarity and the priority was around the what or the outcome, and then we the indifference may show up in the how. And I think that's not only okay, but that's a great conversation to have. It's a healthy conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there's the basic things too of like, generally I'm indifferent about like what restaurant we go to. Unless, like, I heard some hot gossip or whatever about a place I was considering going to in another town, and the people were like, these people are super problematic that own the place. And I go, oh, okay, like now I have more of an opinion about that, but as far as like what kind of cuisine we're gonna have, I'm indifferent. And I think that most of the times there's like a lot of trivial things, like if you're a time like I like in relationship, I like people to spend time with me. That's one of the things I value, love languagey kind of stuff. In that situation, I don't really care what we're doing. It's more about like the who it is that I'm hanging out with, and do I feel connected, that we're having a connected experience. So I think you're spot on that sometimes you have to dig deeper around the indifference to understand what somebody really values. And I think actually when I think about like work, we talk about talent and passions and opportunity and that sort of that nexus that if you align your talents and your passions to the opportunity, I think a lot of times, especially when people are already in a job, they go and think that the opportunity is one thing and they're trying to deliver toward that, but then really what the organization is valuing is something different. And then they're not being rewarded, right? So when you have that clarifying conversation about like, how do I get promoted, right? If it is the person who's like watching you clock in 8 to 5 and it's less about what you've accomplished and more about showing up, well, then that's a different answer to, what gets you ahead in this space is, we used to hear this all the time, like you need more visibility. Right. So it wasn't like that you, whether or not you actually got the work done or not, it was like who knew about it and who paid attention to it. And that's something different. And so you have to understand the dynamics, I don't really want to call it like politics, but it's office politics. Like how do you navigate that? And that's true in relationships. That's why we talk about love languages, right? Because people are valuing different contributions, right? If it's about gifts or physical touch or something like that, and you're just like, hey, I'm just happy if we're watching TV together, you're out of alignment.
Well, I think you'd also just touched on a root cause for why people aren't authentic, or they struggle to be authentic. You mentioned the talent, opportunity, passion, borrowed from the hedgehog concept from Good to Great by Jim Collins. If your identity, so maybe there's confusion about authentic self versus identity. If your identity is connected to your profession, whether it's because you're really good at it, because you're really passionate about it, or because it's really important to someone else, if But if you confuse your professional identity with your authentic self, it may be difficult for you to be authentic because it's going to keep coming out as what I do or my job or my role versus no, who are you as a person? And if you're even feeling kind of stuck at work, it might be worth some reflection of did my professional identity build on top of my authentic self, or did I codify it around my professional identity and now I'm struggling to even understand what my authentic self really is?
Yeah, I mean that opens up so many more questions that I want to dig into in another
Oh,
conversation.
look, we're out of time.
I no, it no, it's kind of a perfect place to put, to kind of summarize and put a pin in it for this time. But I think it goes even beyond work. I'm thinking about social circles that I run in as well, and how our identities can get wrapped up in that. And we can make a lot of assumptions there as well about what you think about like celebrity and what people assume that they're known for, what they're valued for, and in certain social circles, people can think, oh, if I dress this certain way, or if I have this certain thing, or if I'm seen at a certain event, that it that's that bill is identity building or identity breaking, right? That's what creates FOMO and all of these things. People feel, people feel like, oh man, I gotta be at this thing because I'm, again, it's about visibility and showing up a certain way. And this is more of why people are like, yeah, now when I'm in my middle age, I'm just like, no thanks, I don't want to go to that event, right? Like if you're really honest about it, that doesn't really actually hold as much value. And I wish for people that we would examine these things from jump versus waiting until we're middle age and we have less Fs to give or whatever, where you start really thinking about, do I, is this the move I want to make, right? And looking at how is your, how are you viewing your own identity? How are others viewing your identity? And is that actually your authentic self? And how do you move that by nudges or leaps and bounds? So more to talk about, I think, on this topic, but I think we covered some good ground today. So thank you for examining this with me. I hope that people listening take some time for themselves to think about one of the, is it the internal work that you need to work on because you don't know? Is it the external work in conversation with others? Do you need a better support network to help you navigate these things? Pick one of those elements. I think it would be my advice. What do you have any final words of wisdom or advice that sort of summarizes it?
Of course, if you haven't done the work to identify your core values, we've got a deck of cards. There are ways to go through a process of identifying and clarifying what's most important to you. If you haven't done that, that's a great start. But maybe I would flip it back on you. And for people who just want some help or need someone to talk to or need some additional thought-provoking content to kind of kickstart their journey.
I think I'll look at publishing some of this on the Authenticity Matters Facebook page too.
Or maybe our
Tips.
listeners have some great tips or resources in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to engage with you on social media. I love hearing all the perspectives that people have. Again, thank you so much. It's always
You're welcome.
thought-provoking.
You're welcome. Thank you for the time to talk about this. Appreciate it.
Huge gratitude every day for my business partner of 10 years, Brian Stinson, for his generosity in sharing his ideas and experiences. If you want to learn more, Check out Authenticity Matters on Facebook to access some of the resources and references we share during the show. Before we wrap up the show, let's hear from the sponsors that help provide this radio programming to the community. You're listening to KXRW 99.9 FM.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Join me next time to hear more authenticity journeys on Authenticity Matters. This is KXRW 99.9 FM.